Good morning. All righty, I'm standing in for Pastor Mike today. Most of you know me, my name's Nathan. I am your community presence pastor. And my biggest identity, though, is I'm a child of God. And if you ask people about me, they might say this or that or the other thing. But what I'm most proud of, or what I hold on to the most, is I'm a child of God. And I'm really, really grateful for that today. So this is the Bible. Say that with me. This is the Bible. Let's say that again. This is the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. Say that. The Bible is the Word of God. All right, so I'm going to read to start off from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. So, in our universe, there's 2 trillion galaxies. It's a lot of galaxies. And it's estimated that in every galaxy, there's 1 billion stars. On average, 1 billion stars. So that's a huge number. That's actually the top number, is the number of stars in the universe. And estimates tell us that of all time, from creation start to now, 110 billion people have ever lived on the earth. I know there's probably about 8 billion right now on the earth, but of all time, 110 billion people have ever lived. And so, you are one of those people. You particularly are one of those people. And everyone in here is one of those people. Particularly created and chosen by God to be here. I think that's significant. That means that you're not an accident. That means that nothing went wrong for you to be here. It means that you have a solid purpose for being here. We know this verse, but Psalm 139:13-16 says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days written for me were written in your book. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. Before one of them ever came to be." So you matter. God picked you. You're here on purpose. There's things that God has for you. In your bulletin, there's a couple of these. So one of them says, "God picked you." So since you're one of the 110 billion people that ever lived, you're significant, you matter. I want to tell you that there's 3 things. You don't need to remember these because they're written down on that paper, but you can look at it, and I hope you remember them. Number one is God made you. I've already said that. Number two, because God made you, God wants to sustain you. He wants you to be the best version of you that you can be. And he loves you. So significantly, he loves you. Like, not just did he make you, not just does he want you to be the best version of yourself, but he loves you. I mean, I am God's beloved. That's stunning. That he made me, he wants to sustain me, and he loves me. One person loves me. No, just kidding. A lot more people than that. But God loves us. And then second little set of things on there, you have 3 gifts. If I could boil down life to 3 things that you have. You have the gift of life. We've said that a couple times. You were chosen to be here. You have the gift of life. You have the gift of truth. In our case, it's this. and you have the gift of choice. Don't mess it up. So I think that's astonishing that we have been given the gift of life. We've been chosen uniquely. We're one of the special people that are here. And we have truth. And then we have this latitude of choice. We can choose to or not to in a lot of cases. I think that's astounding. So this morning, we're continuing on in our study of Luke. We have three verses today, three verses. And I'm seeing this as a bridge. We've all been on a bridge before. Like, in fact, this stage is a bridge, I could say, between that side of the room and that hallway and this side of the room and that hallway. We've all been on a bridge. We've walked around, or we've been on a crowded bridge with lots of people. But a bridge connects two things. So today, we're talking about three verses that connect all of the past of Luke, chapter 1 through 6, up to where we are. And then the future. Jesus, the next few weeks, we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff that Jesus taught in the next few verses. But today is three verses. And in those verses, it's a crowd. It's a whole crowd of people. Last week, Pastor Mike told us a lot about picking the disciples and how motley of a group they were. In their day, they actually, in church terms, were not good enough. They were failures. There was a lot of steps that went into being a follower of a rabbi. Jesus was a rabbi. He started his ministry at 30. There's a whole process of learning the Torah by memory by the age of 12. Then you're picked from that group. If you're good enough, you're picked from that first group. It's called Bet Sefer. You're picked from that group to go to the next group. A lot of people weren't picked. And the next group is called Bet Midrash. And it's a whole bunch more study until they're about a little older. I don't know the exact age groups. But that's a selected group. None of the disciples, scholars think and say that most of the disciples didn't make that second group. And then there's a third group that it's all the way up to 30 years old. And if you're going to be a rabbi, you'll be knowing that by the age of 30. And you have to have two other rabbis besides the one you're following. So you need three rabbis to basically say you're good enough. And so most Jewish boys didn't make it. Most Jewish men didn't make it. And so the disciples were actually told to go back to their family business and have other children, and maybe one of them will become a rabbi someday, potentially. So they were shocked when Jesus said to them, follow me. Me? Follow you? Really? I didn't make it. So Jesus carefully chose his disciples. He chose the apostles. We saw that last week. And then there's a whole slew of things before this passage in Luke that went on. Jesus was on a Sabbath-breaking mission. It seems like this chapter in chapter 6, two times. Sabbath, he broke the rules. Second Sabbath, he healed a guy, broke the rules on the Sabbath. He was encountering tension with the way church was. And so he was on a ministry of miracles, healing, and teaching. This is Jesus' ministry. And so today, our two verses, I'm going to read them again. We know that he already, out of a big group of disciples, he chose 12. We saw that last week. We know their names, previous verses. And so when we come to this bridge, this crowded place where the people are, for today's message, it says, and Jesus came down with them. That's the 12 that he just picked, and the other group of disciples. So there's a group following Jesus, the 12 that he just picked, and the other disciples that he picked from, so a bigger group. So he came down with them and stood on a level place. And a great crowd of his disciples, so more disciples, and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who, all these people, came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. So you got this massive crowd of people in the flat area, And some are disciples, some are apostles, and some are people that have heard or seen or been told by somebody, hey, this guy is something else. Jesus, you should hear him. You should go hear him. In fact, if you go hear him, you'll be touched and changed. And if you have something wrong, you might be healed or you will be healed. So go see him. So there's the word's getting out, and it says that people are coming in droves, in large numbers. Continuing on, verse 19, or 18 and 19. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all of the crowd sought to touch him. I think that's interesting. All of the crowd sought to touch him. For power came out of him and healed them all. So you have a situation here where it's the word's out that if you just touch Jesus, if you just get near him, you will be healed. You should go see him. You should be part of that. I'm sure people are telling other people this. People that have been touched and healed are going, I want to see him again. I want to get in on that again. So you see the energy that is building. Everyone is healed. So I just want to take a moment now. Here's the crowd. Apostles. I'm taking it. None of us are apostles here. I put a red X on there. If you're an apostle, I'd like to know. Disciples, people that were called out, I want you to follow me, or that said, I want to follow you. I want to learn everything you can teach me. I want to be part of your movement. You're the Messiah. I'm with you. I'm a disciple. I'm a follower. There's those. There's people that were healed. And people were healed in multiple ways. You can't probably read that. It's in your handout. But they were healed physically. They were healed emotionally. They were healed physically, mentally. All kinds of different ways people were healed. A lot of times we see the physical healing. But we know that Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. That was debatable, right? Can he spiritually heal somebody? Then we had people that just came to listen. They wanted to listen and get in on what the Messiah was teaching, what was going on. They're there to listen. Or they were invited. So people had been invited. They were an invitee. Or they were there with their friend. Hey, Gary, let's go hear Jesus. I'd like to take you. Let's go. So Gary's coming with me. I'm inviting him. He's the invitee. I'm the inviter. There's got to be a lot of energy of people saying, I'd like you to go see Jesus with me. Let's go. Maybe he could heal us. He will heal us. So, and then we know from the text this week and last week and previous weeks, there was opposed naysayers and enemies there in the group. They went there following Jesus for the sole purpose of just finding him, saying something that was wrong, breaking the Sabbath, anything to pile up on their list of things Jesus did wrong so they could nail him somehow or actually even kill him someday. They hated him. So these people were in the crowd too. So just take a moment and look at that. Who are you in the crowd? If you had to go, hey, I'm one of those, who are you? I'm going to tie my shoe. So we're one of those people in the crowd. We're one of those. There's a big energy of following Jesus in this text, and there's a lot of different kinds of people. So I'm just asking you to choose, which one are you? So what kind of people might have been there that day? We could tell story after story after story after story. Like I said, people heard about Jesus. They were there because they had troubles. They wanted to know more. They wanted to be in on the big thing. So I want to read this from Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read this lady. And this is, Jesus is on his way to see Tyrus, this guy that just said, my daughter's sick. I want you to come to my house, listen to this, and put your hand on my daughter, touch her and heal her. He just wanted Jesus to come and touch his daughter. She'll be healed. And so Jesus goes, okay, and he's going to Jairus' house. And so a great crowd followed Jesus and pressed around him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all her money and was no better off, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if I even touch his garment, I will be made well. And immediately a flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out of him, immediately turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said, Jesus, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? Everybody's touching you. And he looked around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told the whole truth and said, Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. We already looked at this previously. This man that was paralyzed had four other people. They believed enough, say, we got to go see Jesus. We want you to be touched by Jesus. We're going to take you. They're the inviters to take this guy that needs to see Jesus to Jesus. They get there, and it's too crowded. There's no way it's going to work out. And so either they put the guy down and went back and got whatever they needed to cut through the roof or go through the roof, or they thought ahead and went, it's going to be too crowded, we're going to do it this way. Either way, they cut through the roof, let the guy down right in front of Jesus inside the house, and there now is this paralytic, this guy paralyzed, that's right in front of Jesus. So we know this story. He says, sir, your sins are forgiven. Creates a big controversy. And so that, so he says to the group, Jesus saw their faith and he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. They saw the faith of the men on the roof lowering the guy. He said, I see your faith. Sir, your sins are forgiven. Spiritual healing. And the Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this guy who's speaking blasphemy? Only God can forgive sins. So Jesus knew what they were thinking. They asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? But I say to you, so that you know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately, the man stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave God praise. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. So, in that day, let me get to this slide in a second. In that day, Jesus took on the religious powers of the day. He took on the religious power of the day. He took on the political power of the day. Took on the political power of the day. He took on the spiritual power, the demonic stuff that we've looked at. And he took on the physiological, scientific stuff. So think about this guy. I have a 2-year-old granddaughter that I would freak out when she went like this on a step, especially this big of a step, even just one step. And for a long time, she would never do this. She would back up and go like this, crawl down. And day after day, week after week, month after month, now Rory comes up to the step, doesn't even look down, knows it's there because her brain has developed enough sense to go, I'm at the edge of a step. Okay, step down now. Step down with your other foot. Okay, and then your brain goes, okay, balance. You're not on the top step. So there's a lot of physiology that's going on with a little kid who's never walked or gone down steps or anything, right? This guy's been laying there for, who knows, years, right? He gets up, and he's healed, right? He's healed spiritually. Your sins are forgiven. But not only that, all kinds of other physiological things go on, like years of therapy and rehab goes on, and he gets up and just walks away. That's incredible. So Jesus just goes, you're healed, and simply, all kinds of stuff. And the guy gets up, walks away, probably jumps away. So, question, have you met Jesus? Thought about which one of these am I? You're one of these, or maybe a couple of them. Think back to when you met Jesus. I can remember, maybe you can or you can't. It's not a test, there's no failure. I remember sitting in a church pew the day I met Jesus, and man, my life changed. It changed. Weeks later, people said, dude, what happened to you? And I had to explain, like in my head, what happened to me. I literally reached out in my head and heart to God, to Jesus, and I don't know what happened, but I was changed forever. I'm changed to this. Some of you know me for years, to that. I'm not perfect. But my life changed enough where people around me and my friends and stuff said, dude, what happened to you? I know for sure, proved to my own self, no one had to prove it to me, hey, Nathan, read the Bible, ask Jesus into your life, confess your sins to God. I was the proof to myself. I saw the change. People saw the change. So I'm not going into who I am and what happened to me. I'm asking you, have you met Jesus? Has he touched you? Has he healed you? Have you changed? Are you reaching for Jesus? Are you the lady? I know if I can just get close enough and I can touch him, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good physically. I'm going to be good spiritually. I'm going to be good mentally. I'm going to be good emotionally. I'm going to be good if I can touch Jesus. So who are you there? I got stuff up here. So I want to focus on this one for a second. I said that that's my biggest identity. And if you've met Jesus and Jesus has touched you and healed you, you can say that. And the Bible's full of unbelievable promises about you and that you have available to you. So you are quite changed. You are quite healed. You have quite a hope. You have quite a lot of promises. You are quite blessed. Are we really into that? That we are quite changed people as God's children. I'm going to kind of wrap up with some truths of child of God. And then we're going to close today with the band coming back up. And we're going to sing, or actually they're going to sing. They're going to sing, you're going to listen and reflect. And if there's some way you want to reach out for Jesus or if you want some kind of help. I've asked some people to come up and pray with other people. We do this every Thursday with people in our parking lot, every single Thursday. People come here to get prayer on Thursday. I want to tell you today, if you want prayer during the week, come Thursday at 9:30. I'm serious. We have a prayer team, and they will pray for you. There's times where I walk over to the prayer team, and I go, can you pray for me? I need prayer. It's Thursday. All right, I'm going to go out there. Kind of like that. Because God's touch is through God, Jesus, or someone else. So, this week, someone shared the story with me. Quote, I went to a store that I frequent. I know the owner. I was in that store. A lady came in that looked kind of troubled. And this is what they're telling me. And the store owner comes to the pantry off and on. And she's in a challenging spot. She gets food. She knows about the prayer and all that. And so the store owner, they said to me, looked at me and went, oh, hey, name. This lady needs prayer. She went over to the lady and said, this lady can pray for you. And they had a little in front of, you know, I don't know if there was customers in there. I don't know. All I know is they circled up, they touched each other, and they prayed in the store. And the person telling me the story was like, I said, well, how did you feel? They're like, hey, I was God's hands and heart at the moment. And we touched that lady. So today, I'm going to close with a few verses about you are a child of God, in addition to who you think you are in the crowd. And then we're just going to close with a reflective opportunity here to pray together. You can have somebody pray for you here up front, or the same people that I've asked to pray are going to be out in the courtyard. So I just felt it was good today, or I believed it was good, to have a reflective time while we're on this bridge between the past stories of Luke and the future teaching, which Jesus is going to get into some tough stuff if we're listening. Love your enemy. Do good to those that persecute you. It's some really tough stuff coming up for this crowd that's following Jesus and listening to him. And we know this stuff, right? We're going to suffer. We're going to be challenged. We're going to have enemies. We have that. So, while I'm reading these, the band can come up. You are a child of God. You are a person in the crowd. We need to reach for Jesus. We need to touch others with Jesus' love and care. We need to invite people to Jesus. We need to be healed. We need to be a disciple. We need to be, we need to be, we need to be. What does God want from us? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Ephesians 2:8-10. For it is by God's grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. This is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has before ordained that we should do. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is love, 1 John 4:10 12. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Romans 5:8 and 9, but God demonstrated his love to us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are being considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons neither present or future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who now by that power enables him to bring everything under his control, and he will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. So we're going to close, and I'm going to ask the people I asked to pray for people to come up. It's Rhonda and Duane and Valerie and Derek. And Steve and Julie are standing by. So if particularly maybe you weren't thinking about this today, but since we're thinking about it now, you want prayer. I know it's kind of maybe awkward to come up for prayer. That's an option today. But the same people will be in the courtyard to pray with people. And I just decided that I thought this was a good way to end this "Can We Just Touch Jesus" part. So we'll close with this song, and we'll be reflecting and committing.